and wanted me to call on Henry Ford and his committee, some commission appointed something down there, to see if they can't do something
about it. Well, this is the commission for which you went down and made a speech earlier.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about now. King rented the house. Frankly, I think it's my own judgment is, and I hope I'm still maintaining some of my objectivity, but that King, this is a damn plant. I don't believe they fired through that house because the facts show that for three straight nights when he was there, nothing was at all shot at. And the night that he announced publicly he was going to leave, it was then shot into, and the next night he was back there and nobody's bothered him at all. Now, it is going to be, he's going to, make that his focal point of his efforts, apparently here for a little while.
Is St. Augustine a pretty bad place?
No, St. Augustine, it's a typically rural place. But what they're doing is they're trying to squeeze St. Augustine on the basis that they're having this quadricentennial celebration starting this fall. It's 400th anniversary, and they know damn well that while they don't have much integration, in fact, I don't think they have any. It's a typical sort of a small Florida community. So, but it's going to get a good deal of attention because it's the 400th anniversary, and they're going to screw it up and to try to break in there. Now, I made two commencement speeches over this weekend, and both junior college commencements where I spoke were integrated, first time in the history they had been. Of course, one of them is first commencement. But anyway, there's a lot of progress being made. But King is, naturally, he loves a headline, and I think, frankly, that it would be very bad if the federal government did anything more than confer with Bryant, who has frankly handled the matter very well up to this point. And Bryant's a reasonable fella, a graduate of Harvard, damn smart fella. And I think that just if you just say that you've conferred, he assures you that everything's in good shape and that actually FBI agents could go down to try to find out who was doing the shooting. That may be justified, but anything beyond that I think would be very bad.
Good, okay, that's what we'll do. Martin Anderson's been writing me and talking to me from time to time, writing, communicating, sending me stuff on the cattle prices.
Right.
And I know how he feels because I understand it. We don't know what the hell we can do about it. The cattlemen got up 106 million head and from about 92 million, and they're just running out of the ears, and there's more surplus than you ever saw, and it's down now to where meats sell pretty cheap, and because it's got such a hell of a surplus. The imports have got practically nothing to do with it. We've gone in and bought up enough stuff and reduced them enough to give them the five-year average that they were arguing for, and we're below the five-year average now in imports. But the imports don't run 6-7% of the total amount. The 93% that's bothering us is this damn overproduction. But they've got it, and they're all holding back because they don't want to sell cheap prices, and we got to get rid of it some way. And everybody, every doctor and every oil man, everybody else wanted to get some tax haven, went out and gotten cattle, and they're there, and I've got them running out of my ears. So I'm just buying all of it I can for school lunch and all of it we can to ship overseas to our soldiers. We used to buy it over there, but I'm shipping our stuff over there now. And I'm encouraging them to have barbecues and cookouts and everything else. We've increased the consumption about 35% through the chain stores. But we still, the fact is, we got 106 million head and they need 92. And everybody's got the surplus. I don't know what else to do about it. And if we barred all imports, it would make 0.1% difference.
I have often thought that it might be someday.
And what we're trying to do, I've sent a mission over there, and there's a shortage in France, and there's a shortage in England, and there's a shortage in Germany, and we're trying to, instead of raise hell about imports and letting them raise hell about our imports, we're trying to import a lot of stuff into their countries. And they think we're going to be able to do it. They're not positive, but our stuff's all marble stuff, all fat stuff, and most people don't like that fat. They can't eat it. They just want lean meat.
Yeah.
And our people have been sending them to Nebraska and having them fed up, you know, and put all that marble on them and all that fat, and it does give them a little better flavor.
Yeah.
But when you sit down and they say, give you that for $1.50 a pound, well, then you cut that marble off, it sells for $3 a pound, you see.
Right. Well, some days we're going to have to look at the tax bill. It really should not be a tax haven. I think that just enough these doctors and rich people raising these cattle, just enough to make the oversupply, just enough to make it really tough for the genuine cattle raiser.
I think that's a basic weakness. I don't know what tax benefits it has. I never have felt any myself, but I guess to a fellow that's got a big registered herd or something, there's some real benefits. We ought to watch it, and I hope that next year when we get this election behind us, George, I hope y'all don't really do anything to these excise taxes.
Well,
don't mess with that now. I've just got a big 12 billion.
I put in a bill on the telephone to head to Carlson and them off, say. Carlson.
Well, you head them off, because if I get on that, now the Republicans are starting a movement to really make us fiscally irresponsible. I've got them in the hole on this, and I'm screw them to death, because I'm going to stay within my budget, and I'm just fighting like hell to do it. But I'm going to do it, and I'm $1 billion under them. But if they can cause me to lose a lot of taxes, now they caused that committee to delay for 2 months, you know, on the Senate committee, and as a result of that delay, I missed my guess on revenues, because I thought the bill would go into effect quicker than it did, but now they're going to try to mess us up on this extension, and I just hope that you'll watch them and not let them do it.
Yeah, and let me just say this. I put a bill in to take off the telephone tax over a period of 5 years to gradually reduce it. Now, the reason I did that is because Carlson and these Republicans had been pushing this for quite a long time, and when we took up the tax bill, everybody brought up the need for removing the excise taxes, and we fought them off on the ground where we were later going to consider all this.
We'll consider it after the election.
That's right. Now, if we can, of course, we got to extend it to the 31st. We got to figure out some way. I think that we'll.
But Wilbur's going to start in June, holding other hearings.
That's right.
If we can just get this, they want to keep me having my budget. They want me to keep my debt ceiling and my taxes, and they're going to work on that to give us a whipping.
Yeah.
But don't let them do that.
Well, I know we can hold them on the debt ceiling, and I think we can maneuver around on the taxes. And if they're going to take any off, why? That's why I'm putting in the telephone thing. If I'm going to say, well, if any's coming off, let's take off the telephone. The Ribbicoff and his crowd don't want the telephone off. Particularly, they want to take off of cosmetics and handbags and rouge. Phil Hart wants to take it off of automobiles. Vance Hartke wants to take it off musical instruments, and so it goes. So if everybody's got one, then we can finally say, now look, by God, I'll give up mine, you give up yours.
That's right. I'll leave that up to you. Now you do that for me.
All right.
That'd be wonderful. Now, do you know any other news?
No, I don't know any other news.
How's Dick feeling?
Well, Dick's feeling pretty good. I just had lunch with him.
I never do see him. I haven't been to lunch yet.
Everybody's worried about South Vietnam, as you know, and there's no point in me telling you.
Well, what do you think we ought to do? What do they think we ought to do?
I'll tell you what, I don't think that they think we ought to commit a lot of people out there. I'm sure of that. I mean, if any way it seems to me you can get it referred to some international agency, because in the first place, nobody really believes the South Vietnamese know whether or not they're Democrats, Republicans, capitalists, or communists, or a goddamn thing. The second thing, they've long been indoctrinated by General MacArthur and others that we really shouldn't get in a shooting war with the Chinese on the Chinese mainland or in that area. Now, you say, well, you don't want to give it up. Well, that's right, you don't want to give it up. But on the other hand, they don't want to get in a war about that area. And I think that,
well, then what do we do, though? That's right. They're coming down, they're eating us up, and we either got to run or fight.
Well, I think you better run to an international agency, and they take it over. Dulles got us in there in 54 by bad judgment, and nobody thinks we ought to fight a war in that area of the world. And to start committing more and more, it just got everybody really worried. Jack Knight wrote a damn good editorial yesterday. He called me about 3 days before about it, said he was worried about it. What do you think was going to happen? What I think was going to happen. I said, well, it looks like to me that McNamara sort of got the bit in his teeth. I have not been on Wayne Morris's side. I think it's unfair to call it McNamara's war. But I'm afraid that the opinion is that the executive branch of the government, they have to decide these things, that this is an essential area and that we have to, we're going to have to commit our own troops to it. And
that's basically what the Republicans say. Hickenlooper is down here, and that's what he said. We can't retreat because if we do, it'll be very disastrous for the United States to give up all of our interests in Southeast Asia, because the next thing comes is Indonesia, the 100 million people, and the next thing comes is the Philippines. And the Chinese are very aggressive, and if you run from them, well, we'd run out of Greece and Turkey a long time ago if we'd run from the Khrushchev. Now, if we show some strength, well, we may have a chance to hold on. If we don't, well, we just throw in the flag and we...
Well, I would agree with that in certain areas. And God knows I'm no runner from the communists, but they've got us at a big disadvantage. Nobody gives a damn about that area generally, even though they probably should.
Yes, I think the people don't, but I think it's a very important area. With India changing government and with Indonesia what it is, they can really have two-thirds of the world there. If we're not careful, it'll be another China.
Well, I think that the responsible Republicans ought to start making that clear if you can get them to do it.
Well, Nixon has done it. He said we ought to go in with North Vietnam. Rockefeller's done it. Goldwater's been wanting to drop atomic bombs. They're all doing it. Now, I've refused to do it, and I'm trying everywhere I will with every organization, with CETO, with NATO. I've had my Secretary of State, both of them, with the United Nations. I went up to see them myself with the ICC Commission, and I'm trying every way I can just to hold on and keep from getting run out. But they see a chance now, an election year, and they think our people they're reading Morse over here, and they think we want to get out. And I believe if I said, well, we'll pull out, God, I believe it, they'd be up in arms on me. And I think if I say, well, we're going in, they'd be up in arms too.
Well, that's right. That's why I agree that there's no easy way out of this. If I know that's what you'd like to do is get it stabilized and send it off and have some kind of a neutrality efforts again. And bring in, make those British and French and so on, they belong to CETO, somehow get them in on it with us and assume some responsibility. Now, they're damn good about guiding things into international hearings and so on. And we can get this and stabilize it into an international hearing for a while, and then finally...
Well, that's what we did with Laos, and we got an agreement, and then the sons of bitches violate, you see.
Yeah, well, of course, our people apparently violated that first, or the rightists did anyway.
Well, no, we didn't. We didn't have anything to do with that. We're not in with the rightists. We laid it down and said they had to go back to Savannah Puma or to hell with them.
Yeah.
And that the rightists, though, wanted to take over, but it's kind of like they are somewhere all the men in Texas, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Well, it isn't an easy one, but I can assure you it is just the people generally that I talk to, and I talk to a good many in our state, of course, but you talk to many more. But anyway, they don't want to be run out, but on the other hand, they don't feel very... I heard Billy Graham on the program just the other night, and he usually stays out of these things pretty well, but he said, I just don't understand why it is we can be so tough in that area of the world and how we can be so untough in Cuba. And I think you've done well in Cuba. I think everything's coming along fine, and as well as could be expected. But this is, they oversimplify it, as you know, and they get us fighting and way to hell and going out South Vietnam when the people themselves don't want to fight, apparently. They don't know what the hell they want to do. It's obviously not going to be a very well-accepted conclusion. Now, I agree that that's not in the final analysis. That can't guide you. You've got to do what you think in the long range is best for your country and the free will, irrespective of what the hell people think. But I don't know if there's some way it could... just be held in abeyance, or maybe this, again, it being, as you've got it figured out better than I have. Just a real strong, sure strength might stabilize it where nothing else would.
We're trying everything else, but I'm afraid that's not going to do it. I've got them out in Honolulu now trying to figure out anything else they can do.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. I won't second guess you on those.
I'll see you.
All right. Thank you.